I have started something new recently that is also something old. I've started running again, another start. But this time I'm running with a friend. He sent me an email at some point a few weeks ago and asked me if I wanted to go for a run with him. And even though I knew that this person was in much better shape than I, a foolish voice in my head said, "Say yes!" And so I typed in, "Yeah, let's do it!" And I sent it back. Now, I okayed this, sharing this with all of you with him. And I don't want to embarrass him, but his first name sounds a lot like mine. I mean, in fact, a lot like mine. And his last name rhymes with Ronson, that's all I'll say. I don't want to get into any more detail than that, but one of the reasons I mentioned this is because merely saying that I am running with this person raises my own status as a runner. People who know this runner, when they hear that I am working out with him, they say, "Oh, wow, he's a serious runner." And I say, "Well, yeah." Just being associated with him lifts me up. But the truth is something a little less than impressive. Truth be told, his fitness level is up here. And mine is, well, somewhere down here. And too quickly, on our first run, as I was wheezing, and I look over and he's kind of cruising, I started to curse that foolish voice in my head that said, "Yes, what were you thinking, Paul? You could have conveniently lost that email." But alas. But on that first run, even though I was wheezing, I rejoiced. Part of me rejoiced. Just a little. I enjoyed the moments outside, the view of the mountains and the conversation. What I could muster between breaths. At one point, he asked me a question that required more than a grunt in return, and then he looked at me and he said, "That's all right, you can answer later if you want." Thank you. You see, I run with him on his recovery days, the days when he's supposed to take it nice and easy and not supposed to push it too hard. And my program these days my program is very simple. I just try to survive. But together, with a lot of patience and forbearance on his part and a little bit of suffering on my part, we come together and for those few moments, we meet in the middle. And I rejoice. You see, I'm challenged during these runs. I'm motivated to put on my running shoes when I would otherwise stay in bed or when I would otherwise sit in my chair and do something else. I'm motivated to get on the road and I am getting in better shape and I'm getting stronger just a little just because he's pushing me. And for him, well, I give him plenty of rest. I make sure he doesn't do too much on his recovery days. See, it works. When we meet in the middle. As I thought about this, it occurred to me that this is just like the good news of the cross. The good news confirmed by Easter. In the story of Scripture, Jesus, the living Word of God, is born into an earthly life. He lives in one of our bodies and struggles with our weaknesses and our brokenness. But even though he is fully human, his fitness level is way up here and he lives faithfully. And as he walks this earth, he shows us how to love, I mean really love, ourselves and our families and our neighbors. And he can sprint, and in brief encounters, in those quick 5Ks, he heals and he feeds and he embraces others in those short runs. And he also does ultra marathons because he's teaching the disciples again and again and again what he's all about. He's in it for the long haul. And slowly but surely, slowly but surely, his patience and forbearance pay off, and he meets in the middle. But wouldn't you know it, there are other runners. Runners who are used to being in the lead. The ones who are used to being out front with the cameras on them. Except they are really out of shape when it comes to loving, and they can't keep up with Jesus. And they get jealous. And they try to take him out of the race. On that first Easter morning, we find that it doesn't work. On that morning, some women go to the tomb with some Bengay. They are expecting to find a runner who was finished, for whom the race had ended. But instead, they find an empty tomb and a pair of running shoes. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" say the dazzlingly dressed men. "He's out running ahead of you. Just like he said, the race isn't over. It's just beginning." And so the first of many Easter morning starts takes place. Christ is risen. This morning, the women bring the same good news to us. And we can either treat it, like most of the disciples did in that room, as an idle tale, as nonsense. Who believes somebody rises from the dead? Bah, doesn't happen. Or we can lace them up like Peter. Run to the tomb and see what God has in store for us. This morning we hear the word of a risen Savior. He is not dead. More than that, he is not only dead, he wants to be with us. He wants to live in relationship with us. He wants to lead us and strengthen us to live faithfully. He's inviting us to get in shape. Did you see what Peter did when he heard the news the women brought back from the tomb? He ran. And we can run too. It doesn't matter whether we are 6 or 66 or 106. Jesus wants us to run. Not physically, but spiritually. And for justice and for peace and for our neighbor and for ourselves. Because it's when we get these muscles moving and when we get our lungs breathing and we begin to labor, that is when we discover resurrection life. Right now, Jesus is sitting with his iPad and he's typing an email to each and every one of us. Hey, you want to go on a run? You see, the Easter morning running shoes left in the tomb did not belong to Jesus. He left them there for us. But there is really one important difference between Peter's run and ours. Peter ran to Jesus' tomb to verify its emptiness. He was a witness. But this morning, our run doesn't take us to Jesus' tomb. This morning, our run leads us out of our own tombs. I don't know what your tomb looks like. Maybe your personal circumstances darken your world and your gaze, and you can't see very far. Perhaps it is events. Perhaps it is the frustration with politics or the immensity of the task of working for peace in this or that area of the world. Perhaps it is being asked to give more to this or to that. I know I have my tomb. And when I find myself there, it is dark. But Jesus is at the entrance holding up his running shoes for us. Do you want to go on a run? You might be thinking that this is a stupid question. You might be feeling out of shape. You might be feeling as if your legs can't move, as if your strength is sapped. You might believe that you have more important things to do than to run with Jesus. You might be thinking that this is a cheesy metaphor for a divine, holy truth, and it might be that. But think for a moment of the possibilities, of the opportunities, when we dare to respond with a foolish yes. Let's do it. Jesus invites us to lace him up and to run out of our tombs of despair and cynicism, to run out of our tombs of limited expectations and tepid hopes, to discover something new, something fresh, something amazing, something empowering, to experience something wonderful, something bigger than our individual lives and troubles. This is the truth, the good news of the cross and resurrection. Did you hear the vision from Isaiah? Isaiah, when he's talking to the Israelites back in a nation, he doesn't say, well, this is the word of the Lord. I want to help you feel a little better. I want to help you to, you know, kind of be holy every once in a while. To, you know, be moral, you know, some of the time. That's not what Isaiah says. He says, I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. I am renewing everything. Do you want to go for a run? The call to run out of our tombs is a call to a new faith. A faith that does not shrink back and hide, but comes out of the darkness and looks forward. That's resurrection. A faith that does not seek first to protect what it has, but reaches out and blesses others with everything we have. Because the powers that be in your life and in our world, the ones that seem so overwhelming that they deny conventional solution, that to the human eye bury hope with despair, that steal the strength from our legs and sap the determination from our spirits, these powers have seen the beginning of their end in the cross. And now on Easter, we encounter Jesus' invitation. And I know these seem like idle tales, but for those willing to take a step of faith, Jesus invites us to go on a run. It's not about doctrinal purity. It's not about seeing everything the same way. It's about enjoying a relationship with a God who loves us. All that stuff is important, but it's secondary. It's means to an end, to bring life in you and in me. Such is the audacity of Easter good news. A new kind of faith that is founded upon what God is doing right now. We're going to have a little baptism in a little bit. Little Scarlet is going to be baptized, that little baby. But Maya and Magnus, before you know it, your little baby's going to turn 18 like mine did yesterday. And that's hard for a father. You know what? As I think about letting my daughter go to college, to move out of the house, away from my protective gaze, away from my guidance that she loves so much. My hope for her is not that she sees everything the same way I do. Although that would be nice. I don't want her to have the same political ideology or theology. I don't want her to repeat everything that I say word for word. I want her to leave with running shoes, with hope, and with the strength to run and be in relationship with God and her neighbor, to go out and change the world. That's what we hope for Scarlett as she grows. she begins the journey that she is beginning today. Now, we might think our fitness level is, well, down here. And that Jesus' fitness level is way up here. But the good news is that it doesn't matter to Jesus. He has all the patience and forbearance in the world. And he comes down to meet us right where we are. And with a little bit of faith, we stretch up and we meet. And oh boy, the blessings of those times when we meet in the middle. And Jesus is there running beside us, reminding us when we run too fast, hey, you got a ways to go, you better slow down a little bit. Or when we're out of breath, saying, you can do it, you can make it to the end. Because I have a plan of life for you. So lace them up, folks. It's Easter. And Jesus is inviting us. Do you want to go on a run? Amen.